RV Family Travel Atlas is sponsored by Jayco. Since 1968, Jayco has been providing a way for generations of families to create lasting memories. For more information, visit your local Jayco dealer or head over to jayco.com.
And by the Thetford Corporation. The industry expert and innovation leader, Thetford has made RV travel a more pleasant experience for over 50 years. To see a complete lineup of products, visit Thetford.com.
And by Cabela's. Cabela's has everything you need to get your family into the great outdoors. Visit Cabela's.com and make sure your next camping trip is one for the record books.
And by Campgrounds of America. To find out what's behind the yellow sign, visit KOA.com or download the free KOA app today.
Hi, everyone. Welcome to this week's episode of RV Family Travel Atlas. I'm Stephanie.
And I'm Jeremy.
And we write about RV and family travel with our three boys, Theo, Max, and Wes.
You can read about our adventures at RVFamilyTravelAtlas.com, and you can follow us on Facebook, Twitter, Pinterest, and Instagram.
On this week's episode of RV Family Travel Atlas, we are talking about our trip to the Jayco Homecoming that just took place in Nashville, Tennessee. This is a dealer-exclusive annual event where dealers get to check out what's new for 2018.
Jayco was kind enough to let us get a sneak peek behind the scenes, and we are going to share all the exciting innovations we saw in towables and motorized. Plus, we managed to squeeze in a little bit of sightseeing and a lot of eating during our short visit. Listen to hear our recommendations for the appropriate heat level at Hattie B's Hot Chicken and hear about our magical night at the Grand Ole Opry.
You might think we are still in the thick of 2017, but we know that the RV industry has already turned the calendar, and we are ready to talk 2018. You are listening to episode 156, Greetings from Jayco Homecoming in Nashville, Tennessee.
All right, everybody, we are ready to dive right into segment one on all the great towables that we saw at the Jayco Homecoming. But first, we have a sponsored message from our friends at Campgrounds of America.
It may be hard to imagine, but now is the time to plan your fall getaways. A lot of people think fall is the best time to camp because of that great weather, a lot fewer crowds, and less bugs.
I think we should do a poll on our group.
Is fall camping the best?
I think fall camping is the best. Yeah, I like summer better
you
as
do.
A season. But I like fall camping
And
better.
You get all sad that summer's over, and I'm like, hey, I'm ready for the fall.
I got to go back to teaching.
Well, I'm always ready for the fall.
Less camping, more learning.
Well, fall's become even more popular time to camp also now because a lot of campgrounds are hosting Halloween festivities and tailgating parties.
You can bet the KOAs are.
Yes, they are. So if you want to fit in some super quick weekend getaways, or if you've already put the RV in storage, you might want to try a cabin, which we'll be doing this
weekend.
We've
tried lots of cabins lately.
Yeah. To find out what's behind the yellow sign, visit KOA.com or download the free KOA app today.
All right, guys, we got a nice invitation to the Jayco Dealer Homecoming in Nashville, Tennessee, and we were thrilled to go. First of all, Nashville, okay?
Yeah.
Nashville.
Nashville during totality.
During totality.
It just like, it was like, really? We had no plans.
Yeah, we'll tag along in the back of that truck.
Yeah. We had no plans whatsoever to view totality for the solar eclipse. We had so much camping this summer and we were just like, yeah, that's not going to happen. And then suddenly Dealer Homecoming is in the path of totality.
4 nights in Nashville.
Yeah. Knock those two things off the bucket
and
list.
And, you know, I've wanted to go to Jayco Dealer Homecoming for a while because it's a great opportunity to see all the new 2018 units or at least the new floor plans. It's not like every single 2018 is there, but certainly the new floor plans are
right there,
like the ones you've never seen before.
Yeah.
So I was pretty pumped to go check out all the new goodies.
Almost everyone. There's still a few that they're in prototype and they're like, we just couldn't get it here yet. And we'll mention a couple of those that weren't there, but hopefully will be out by the fall.
There
too.
Was plenty of eye candy mm-hmm. though.
Yeah. So just to be clear to everybody listening, when we say a dealer event, this was not open to the public. So this is where Jayco invites their dealer base from all over. I said North America on social media, but one of the highlights of our trip there was meeting the dealer from Chile. Like, hello.
Well, and the one from Vancouver. He was awesome.
Well, I said North America, like, okay, yeah, America and Canada, but there was actually dealers from all over the world. So that was just really amazing to get to talk to him about the Jaycos that he sells and what the differences are for what they sell in South America. And of course, he was he was excited to offer us an invitation to come down.
Yeah, he's like, I'll hook you up with the unit if you want to come down. We're like, done. Done.
That was like the best conversation ever. So that was a lot of fun.
It's a long, skinny country, too.
Yeah.
That could make for an epic RV trip.
Yeah, we could do a lot of RVing there in Chile. So that was fun. But anyway,
is Chile longer than California?
I don't know. We'll have to go offline on that one and figure that out. So it is a private event for their dealers where they say, hey, here's all that you haven't seen yet in our 2018 models. And what do you want to order now before the crazy ordering season?
And it's in a big convention center. So if you're walking by on the street outside, it looks like an RV show, with fewer people.
Yeah.
And sometimes I think people do walk up and press their faces against the glass.
Yeah, and try to get in.
Can't I come in?
I want to see those RVs. So anyway, that was us with our faces pressed up against the glass, except Jacob said, come on in, guys, and see these 2018s.
Actually, they didn't invite us. We just showed up and started knocking on the windows. But anyway, we're going to do three segments. We're going to talk towables, some new features that we liked, some new floor plans that we liked. Then we'll come back. We'll do a motorized segment. And then we'll come back and talk about Nashville because we really did get to have some fun in Nashville. We had a really awesome time doing some sightseeing.
Yeah, we squeezed in a little bit. We're not as much as we would have liked, of course, because we were really busy touring RVs. But we'll talk about what we did do and maybe what we want to do when we go back.
Why don't we start by talking about White Hawks and Jay Feathers, because they really underwent a really complete refresh.
Yeah. Completely different. And it's funny because we were White Hawk owners and we've had John Fisher, the product manager for this line, on our show when he was completely introducing the Hummingbird line. So you've already listened to him sort of talk about his vision and what he wanted to do a little bit differently. Well, now he's brought that same sensibility to the
Hummingbird, and a lot of you have seen the Hummingbird right now because it's pretty hot, really inspired the refresh, particularly on the J-Feather. But both of these lines went linear in their graphics, which is what we've wanted to see for years.
Yeah, so if you are one of the people out there that has been complaining about the swooshes and the swirls, and we know you're out there because we hear from you all the time, John Fisher has come through with you, and now we have Hummingbirds, White Hawks, and Jay Feathers, all without swooshes and swirls. There's entire lines of RVs out there for you without swooshes and swirls. So he introduced a linear line. It's in the sort of white, black, and blue color scheme.
Yeah, and on the Jay Feather, it's pretty subtle, I think. And in the White Hawk, it's definitely more like exciting and sort of like in your face.
I would say bold.
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 Thank you for the great word choice.
No problem.
There.
So now let's talk a little more specifically exterior redesign. There is a huge front cap window, and that is what is getting a lot of attention because for a while, the RV industry moved away from front caps. Why?
They leaked.
Right.
In the old days, a lot of the Class Cs had those windows. I mean, if you've ever seen an old Class C on the road, and if you talk to old-time dealers or RV owners to the person, they will say that those windows leak. So this window is an option on the White Hawks, okay? And it's an automotive bonded window. So they're really saying, like, these are not going to leak. So asking if they're going to leak is kind of like asking if your car window is going to leak. It's the same process, and they feel very confident in these windows. And they look gorgeous. They look really cool on the outside, but more importantly, on the inside to me, because they bring the outside into the camper, and they let you sort of experience the nature around you in a way that you normally can't. We all know that the front travel trailer bedroom can be kind of cave-like. Now imagine a big, gorgeous window there and lying in bed, and you could be stargazing.
And not only for the floor models that have that bedroom at the front. There's a lot of new floor models that were in floor plans that were introduced in the White Hawk line that actually place nice seating areas up at the front. You know, they kind of turned around like the couch up there so that you're really using that front window as a way to experience where you are at the campground. So I like that that became a focus of bringing the outdoors in. And I heard that from a couple of the product managers saying, okay, we get it. People are saying they're camping in beautiful places. And yes, even though they spend most of their time outside, when they're inside, they want to be experiencing those beautiful places too. So I felt like that was a really good perspective that they were bringing to design.
Yeah, and I think the White Hawk has to some degree morphed over the years. There's just lots of White Hawks that are made for couples now. It's not just a family floor plan, for sure.
And there's both. So in the White Hawk, there's a really large, you know, there's options here from the couples camping to the family camping to the people that want the smaller trailers. So we've got the Murphy bed options. And then the people that want the bigger family, you know, trailers, there's the bunk house option. So really, I feel like you could grow up in the White Hawk line and then retire in the White Hawk line.
Also, though, if you talk to people in the industry, they say that there's a lot of people who are downsizing from Class A motorhomes for, you know, whatever the reasons might be, financial, or they just want something smaller. You know, if I had been a motorhome owner for years and I wanted to go back to having a really nice pickup truck and a really comfortable travel trailer, I might take a look at a White Hawk too for downsizing.
All right. So in the J Feather line, there's a few new options here that we think are exciting for people. First of all, we really like the J Feather 722 BHM. It's a Murphy bed option. This is all the rage now. Why? Because what it does, it allows families who need some bunks, all right, to get a smaller under 30 foot, right? The unicorn under 30 foot travel trailer. But then with a Murphy bed, you can still create living space during the day because the queen bed can go into the wall and now you've got a couch and a dinette and some seating for the family.
It almost converts it from like a 34 foot unit to a 28 foot unit, that kind of thing when you put the bed up and down. And also the J Feather 7 is only 7 feet wide. So for someone who has a smaller driveway, less storage space, or just wants the weight trimmed down and doesn't feel like they need a really like a 96 inch wide RV, the J Feather 7 is really cool. This one weighed around 4,000 pounds. So this is pretty light. I really liked this one a lot. It's got the two bunks in the back, as Stephanie mentioned. This could be a second RV for me if I ever got my way.
We have we hit some video on our social media, so make sure while you're listening to this episode, you can go and you can look at some of the videos that we also did, short little 1 minute videos of these models over on our Instagram and Facebook page.
We liked all the White Hawks, and frankly, it was a little bit hard to pick one. We really like the White Hawk 31BH, which has the bunkhouse in the back with three bunk beds in the back and then a huge outdoor kitchen. Otherwise, there would be four bunks. Now, White Hawk got rid of the bunkhouse model for a year or maybe 2 years, and now it's back, right? It's back, and it's better than ever. And what the major change that I really like is they moved the bathroom up to the front. Not all the way to the front, but it's before the bedroom. So you walk in and to the right is the entertainment center and a really nice flat screen television at a really good angle facing the seating area. And then behind that wall is the bathroom. So I really like that because it also creates some privacy between the main living room and the master bedroom. And like our White Hawk from 2012, we had little curtains and our bedroom felt like it was in the living room practically. Here, it really feels like you have a private master bedroom, almost like a fifth wheel owner would feel.
Yeah, like I said, the White Hawk has come a long way, baby, since we had it. So this is just a completely different experience in family living, you know, in this kind of model.
It's just an example of how like the White Hawk line was, it feels like it was totally rethought, right? I mean, let's like start from scratch here and just really think about what people want right now. And to have that travel trailer bunkhouse with a really nice private bedroom is pretty awesome.
Now let's move on to the J Flight line. So this is a line of travel trailers that really is like, I mean, it's just like bread and butter for the American RV market, because this is the number one selling travel trailer in America for like 15 years running.
I think of it more as like pancakes, syrup, and bacon.
Okay.
I mean, it's an American standard.
Staple. It's a staple.
Frankly, I feel like we missed buying a J Flight. Like it should have been part of
because so many people have that experience and we haven't.
Well, yeah. I mean, we went right to the White Hawk because we needed the ultralight.
Yeah.
But I do feel like at some point in my life, I want to own a J Flight. I mean, these are just known as like the most reliable out there. You
right.
Know?
So there's not a lot of tweaking needed on these floor plans because they are the standard, right? This is what people gravitate to. They want these. They really suit an entire huge market in the American RV buying, you know, population. But we want to say that there is a new floor plan and it's a good one. And it's one that a lot of listeners are going to want to look at. So the J Flight 28BHS.
Yes.
So brand new.
Brand new. Now, this one is has a really nice change, too. So when you walk in and you look at the entertainment center, it's not in the same place as in the traditional bunkhouse travel trailer. They move the entertainment center so it's directly across from the couches, and then the kitchen wraps around in an L against the wall. And the master bedroom's behind that wall. So you get a really nice-sized L-shaped kitchen that you're not going to get in most floor plans that are the bunkhouse travel trailer floor plans.
Yeah, and the way that they did this was by actually creating two exterior doors. So the one is on the rear towards the two bunks, and then the other one is up by the master bedroom. So what that does is it leaves that entire wall in between for that L-shaped kitchen and entertainment center. So by making that tweak to the exterior, it really creates the ability to have a different kind of floor plan inside.
And the back of the trailer is the double over double bunks. The bottom one flips up and has nice storage. And then there's the bathroom on the other side. So that's the back end of your travel trailer. This is, if I had two kids, this would be the floor plan I would want. I wouldn't look anywhere else. This is the one I would want.
Now, there's also, we should say now, Jayco has introduced Goodyear tires to all of their travel trailers.
I believe it's a Jayco exclusive now. Okay, so if you want Goodyear tires, go look at Jayco. They look good, you know? Mm-hmm. They look really good. We bought our toy hauler about a month too early. We missed the Goodyear tires, and it bothers me. So I'm gonna get some Goodyear tires. I'm working on it. They look great, and I'm sure they're better tires. I'm just sure they're better tires. So no matter what, Jayco, you're looking at now in the 2018s, you're getting the Goodyear tires.
All right, let's move on to the Eagle line. Now, a lot of you remember hearing from Chris Barth, the product manager for the Eagle line, last month, or about almost now 2 months ago, probably, on RVFTA when we did pros and cons of a fifth wheel. Chris Barth has completely transformed the Eagle line, which is becoming such a popular model out there in the RV industry.
In size, in terms of sales, in the past several years. I don't know exactly how many years, but it's growing quickly. They just opened up a new Eagle plant, and they're good looking. They are handsome fifth wheels.
He is doing something different. He's so excited about what he does too, which you know if you listen to that episode. He's just bringing like a passion to it, and he's really serious about user experience. This guy is tuned in. First of all, he camps all the time. Every time we talk, he's talking about his experiences at the campground. He has twin daughters. You know, he is in this world, and he's really interested in the little things that are going to transform user experience at the campground. And I'm seeing that translate into the actual models that he's creating.
Now, we liked a lot of these, and it was hard to pick one to talk about. But we really liked the Eagle 25.5 REOK. Sounds like a radio station.
It does, REOK.
Tune in to 25.5 REOK. It's like modern country. Little big town.
This is something.
I call it the Baby Eagle.
Yeah, okay. Do they have a name, Baby Eagles? Is there like a...
I don't know. it's a fifth wheel that's under 30 feet, right? And it's... If you're a couple, this thing has a gorgeous living area and kitchen area, and in a package that's under 30 feet that you can get into national parks, state parks, and have all the room you need for two people. This is not a rig I would buy with kids, but if we were traveling solo, retired, whatever, or if we wanted to live in our RV full time without kids at some point, I would be looking at a fifth wheel like this.
This is something you used to be able to find, these smaller fifth wheels. So lengthwise, they would be smaller, but they would have that spaciousness. They'd have that like residential feel in a smaller package. But that really went out of style for a while. And fifth wheels just got bigger and bigger and bigger. So I feel like this is a nice return to a staple for some people who want that residential feel, but do not want the length, like you said.
One of the first times we went camping, we met a couple that had an older Jayco fifth wheel that was like 28 feet, like kind of like this one. And I was like, man, that's an adorable little fifth wheel. And the guy's like, they don't make them anymore. Right.
Yeah.
Now, what's interesting, what was really cool about going to homecoming this year is that we all know RVs have been getting bigger. And certainly in the world of Jayco, RVs have been getting bigger. I mean, they're selling, right?
And they're selling the
selling
bigger
like
ones.
Crazy.
They absolutely are.
They're selling
are.
The big fifth wheels. They're selling the big toy haulers. Also, we're starting to see a push towards smaller.
Mm-hmm.
And that doesn't mean it's going to completely go in that direction. I just think the idea is to be comprehensive at that point. And Jayco and other companies are realizing that there's a lot of people who want smaller rigs, that just their taste and style and camping does not require a 40-foot rig. So I'm excited to see this company and the whole industry continue to innovate on the smaller end. And it is absolutely happening right now.
All right, let's move on to the North Point, because I think that we've been in, you know, a lot of contact with the product managers, like we talked about John Fisher and Amy Duthy and Chris Barth, who we've had on the show talking about these other lines that we just
Amy Duthy's been on this show three times.
Right, so exactly.
Queen bee of the RV.
Well, yeah, well, she makes the America's best-selling travel trailer. She deserves a recurring
she
spot.
She builds them all from scratch herself.
Yeah, so I think it's a sore spot, you know, among this that she's got that position, but because she's so good at what she does, those guys really want to compete.
It was like back when Michael Jackson was in his prime and it was just number one hit after number one hit. I mean, you know, how Cyndi Lauper must have felt at that point.
Oh, poor Cyndi Lauper.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
It's like the rest of those guys are Cyndi Lauper and she's Michael Jackson.
Well, we had not had a lot of time to talk to Matt Fisher, which no relation to John Fisher, but he works on the North Point and the Pinnacle fifth wheel line for Jayco. And we had not really been, these are their luxury fifth wheels or higher end fifth wheels. And
because they're not in our price point.
Right. Yeah. I mean, we definitely featured a few of them at RV shows and everything, like at Tampa and stuff, but we haven't really like dived into that line that much.
Yeah, and he does. So he does North Point, Pinnacle, and Designer, right? Stephanie, those three high-end Jayco fifth wheels.
Right.
And we are seeing particularly the North Point.
The North Point everywhere at the campground.
If we pull into a KOA, a Jellystone, wherever we are, we're just like, there are North Points everywhere.
Mm-hmm.
And then we're seeing a lot of all three of them on seasonal sites
right.
at different campgrounds that we visited with a lot of seasonals. So these units are really moving too.
Now, with that, because we know the popularity is gaining in these models, we see it in real world action at the campgrounds. We definitely made a point to connect with him a little more on his units this time when we were there. Well, I was so impressed. And in fact, I think more surprised than by any of our, you know, conversations with the other product managers, because what he's doing is on point for what people are asking for. So Matt Fisher brought us into the North Point and he just systematically brought us through the coach, showing us all of the design features that he's introduced to really bring his design up to speed with what people want right now in the contemporary. And guess what? Matt Fisher is not a couple years behind the times. He is right there, right
and
now, designing
selling,
things for
you know,
what people want.
And if you're selling more luxurious fifth wheels, you have to be, right? I just think you have to be. So what were some of the modern interior touches that you really liked? Because there was definitely a handful of things where you were sort of ooing and aahing.
He really did blow me away. I was really surprised. So first of all, in the kitchen, there's some things that he did, Everything is linear lines. So even his handle pulls, if you've been in the upscale fifth wheels in the past, a lot of things have that sort of more traditional look to them with like maybe a swirly handle pull, a curved one, right? Curves in the woodwork around. He eliminated all of those. Every single drawer pull, cabinet pull is a straight line pull, which is incredibly modern right now. Even his faucets are very straight. He doesn't have a lot of curved lines in there. He has a bamboo cover on his sink, along with a stainless steel like roll up drying rack. It's like extremely contemporary there. So then he even redesigned like the stove grate. On top, on the cook, you know, the cook range. The range grate looks like what you see on, say, a Bosch, you know, or a Viking stove. It has that thick grate to it that looks super high end. So he just nailed those details.
All these things are in a North Point,
mm-hmm.
okay, which is the lower end of these luxury models,
yeah.
right? So, and I think that, you know, we know our podcast listeners very well. I think a lot of you are North Point customers. You know, there's a lot of you out there that would certainly look at it.
Now, I want to say something that then showed me. Like, he was showing me all this stuff, and I was like, wow, okay, yeah, like, this looks great. We went into the bathroom. He has a new type of bathroom insert. Now, this is not real tile or real glass. So it's like a molded insert into the tub and the shower area. It mimics subway tile. So if you had any doubt that this guy has his finger on the pulse of, you know, modern design, you can eliminate that because the insert looked like subway tile. That's all anybody wants, you know, as tile right now. So he had subway tile. You also had a double squared off bathroom sink, not the round one, a squared off sink with straight handles on it. He even...
His and her sink's really nice. Yeah.
I mean, it really said to me, okay, this guy gets it. Everything that we're going to be seeing right now is not going to be 5 years behind the times.
And from the man's perspective, at least from my perspective, I would not have noticed a bunch of those things that you noticed. But there were some great practical, useful things too, like what he did in the master bedroom. And we're talking the 381 FLWS in particular. There was that bench seat in the bedroom at the foot of the bed so you could sit down and put your shoes on.
Yeah.
And then on either side,
he said, there's not enough room in fifth wheels to get dressed. I know that I'm always frustrated when I camp and I can't get dressed anywhere. And he said, so I made a master bedroom where I could comfortably get dressed.
And you can actually, when you stand in it, you can picture yourself comfortably getting dressed and then sitting down to put your shoes on.
Yeah.
So, and then also just a couple of, like on that island kitchen, that pop-up power cord.
Yeah.
Power strip that had USBs and everything. That's just cool touches.
So there's also a bunkhouse model in the North Point line. So definitely look at those floor plans, especially if you want that kind of seasonal, you know,
that
fifth
front
wheel.
Living is so sweet. Yeah. My goodness.
You know,
people love seeing pictures of those front living fifth wheels.
Yeah. But where, you know, let's be clear. Matt Fisher also said, I put the pullout beds in the front living so that grandma and grandpa could have the kids comfortably stay with them without sacrificing a great floor
plan. Or the parent who's just like, I don't care.
I don't care. I love this.
I want a front living room.
They can sleep on the pullout.
Oh, your life's tough, kid. You're going camping in this North Point fifth wheel and you got a pullout bed. Deal with it.
Yeah. All right, let's move to toy haulers.
Toy haulers. So we're really part of that toy hauler family now and that toy hauler culture, even though Stephanie and I are kind of different as toy hauler customers because we don't have the heavy duty toy haulers. But I was really excited to see the redesign on the Octane travel trailers. So we have the Octane Superlight. That's the family that we're in. And the exterior graphics were not redesigned there, but they will be. But the Octane has a total refresh on the graphics package. I thought it looked really classy, really gorgeous, really handsome look on the new Octane.
Yeah, it gears more towards the Eagle line on the outside, even though there is a definite distinction in color. It looks more like that refresh to us. So it's a lot more linear. There's still curves within the design, but it does look more linear. Also, there's really high ceilings inside of, you know, a lot of these. So
more of a fifth wheel feel. Right. So I think Brent, the product manager there, said that was very intentional to make the inside of an Octane travel trailer feel more like a fifth wheel, and it did. But that's not the only exciting thing going on in the world of Jayco toy haulers. There's a whole new line of fifth wheel called the Talon, and this is at a lower price point than the Seismic, maybe a little bit higher than the Octane, sort of in between the two. And like it's at a price point we could do if we were toy hauler fifth wheel shoppers, which we're not. So you also want to check out the Talon. That was a really nice unit, very practical. You liked the kitchens inside of those. You liked the interior space.
Yeah, well, it's in the fifth wheel line, but because it's, you know, the sort of line below the Seismic, it's a more competitive price point for some people who are looking to jump up to a fifth wheel, but maybe aren't ready to spend the money on the Seismic. Or maybe you just don't need all the bells and whistles of the Seismic and you want something a little more stripped down, a little more simple. So,
and I continue to say, you know, if you're shopping for a travel trailer, particularly a larger travel trailer, and you have kids, look at Octane, look at Octane SL, you know, just like we did as an alternative to a travel trailer, even if you don't have the razors or the jet skis or the golf carts. I mean, it's working really well for us.
So that about covers it. I mean, it was really a great time for us to be here at the Jayco Homecoming because we were able to spend some quality time with there's five product managers within the towables line, and we were able to spend quality time with all five of them. They were able to really show us what they're doing, what they're working on, and I felt like that was so helpful for us going forward throughout the year to talk to listeners, right, about where things are going, what they can find out
there. And I'll say this too. If you're going to Hershey, if you're going to Tampa, if you're going to a bigger RV show, you're going to see some of these product managers there. And, not always, but I would seek them out and I would even maybe ask for them. Just ask for the people working at Jayco because they're there to really provide a higher level of knowledge about these products.
And they're all like, oh, right now, Jeremy, instead, they're going to be, people are going to be hunting us down.
We will post their photos up on our
mugshots.
Mugshots, the wanted posters.
And you can track them down.
No, and you know what? I don't think
they're going to be wearing like fake mustaches.
That's not nice. I think they actually talking to consumers. They're all really nice people.
And we know that because all of the things that they were telling us as we were there were very consumer driven. It was, we hear this, we hear that, we're trying to meet the needs of our camper out there. So,
you know, a lot of people in our world, our audience, there's a lot of people in the RV world complain and say, oh, the people that design these things never use them. The people that design these things don't know what RVers want. I don't think you can say that anymore.
No, well, you can't.
And I don't just mean that about Jayco. Mm-hmm. I just don't think you can say that anymore. I think that everybody's thinking really hard about what the end user wants.
Yeah, Amy Duthie, who designs America's best-selling travel trailer, has three kids. She knows what it's like. Like, these aren't, you know, these are people that do have the experiences that you're having. And over again, you know, a lot of these changes were, I really feel this way when I camp. I know people are saying this, you know, I'm hearing this out there and I'm trying to do it as reasonably as I can and still maintain a competitive price point, blah, blah, blah. You know, they have all those things to worry about. Now, we just ask for things.
There will come a day when we enter the motorized family, and it may be 5 years from now, 10 years from now, I don't know. But on this podcast,
have your druthers next month.
we're going to enter the motorized family very briefly in our next segment. So stay tuned. Welcome back to the show, everybody. It's time for our next segment on all the cool things we saw in the world of motorized at the Jayco Dealers Homecoming in Nashville, Tennessee. But first, we have a sponsored message from our friends at Cabela's.
Cabela's has everything your family needs to get into the great outdoors and camp in comfort. This summer, we put some of our favorite Cabela's products through some pretty rigorous testing. And I have to say, I kind of felt like our practical use winner was the rainy day parka raincoats, right? Like, and not only did we use them so much and they held up and they performed exactly how we wanted to, other people kept asking us for that. Like, they were like, wait, which ones did you recommend? So it seemed like there was really a need for a good raincoat.
But we didn't see a lot of rain in the Pacific Northwest.
No, but then when we came home
lots of rain. Yeah. Ironically,
we come
back home and we were in Pennsylvania, Ohio, Virginia, Delaware, and the raincoats were busted out.
Yeah, we did have to use them a lot. Now, for heavy duty performance, I kind of picked the Polar Cap Equalizer coolers because I felt like they held up to some serious use.
Love them. And what I am finding is they make a great extra seat around the
campfire. It's like a bench seat.
It is not like a bench seat. I mean, it totally serves as a bench seat outside. Thea would sit on top of that and read. And so it's just like a nice flexible seating.
Or a stool. You stand on it to get something.
It is built. I mean, you really, anybody of any size could sit on that.
After having these, you understand how those Field and Stream folks just like tossed it off the pickup truck in their testing.
Yeah, I'm not tossing mine off the pickup truck.
No, but you can see it is so heavy duty. So,
but if you're doing a picnic or something, it's like you could bring one less chair.
Yeah.
You really could.
I want to pack light. So then my favorite glamping item from Cabela's this summer has been the portable ice maker. I continue to have a difficult time imagining my life before the portable ice maker.
When we unpack the RV and we set up camp, like, everyone rushes to get out the ice maker.
Yeah, because you got to get it going.
And put water in and get it going.
You
it makes ice very quickly. And it's working like the day we bought it. And we abused it last summer and we abused it this summer. And it's got a lifetime warranty.
Yeah. So you can check out Cabela's full line of affordable gear at Cabela's.com. Cabela's, it's in your nature.
You ready to talk motorized?
I am, because I was really excited to see some new stuff in the motorized units with Jayco. So it turns out, and we didn't know this going into visiting the homecoming, but it turns out that motorized really had sort of a challenge set for themselves, that that was very much a focus of product development over, you know, up coming into 2018 models. Motorized said, hey, we need a complete refresh, and there's going to be a lot more in the future, but they were ready with a few of key points here at Homecoming.
And we were floored by a couple products, and they might be odd, they seem like odd choices to you guys, but they won't after we talk about them. So one of the first things that really impressed us was the Melbourne Prestige. This is a small Class A. I mean, this is a couples coach, right? Mm-hmm. I mean, you could have, it's got the bed over the driving area, so you could have one kid. Maybe
absolutely.
You could have two kids.
The
into
Europeans
this coach.
Would.
The Europeans have four kids. Four kids.
Those Europeans would pack them in there, no problem.
But let's just come out and say this: like, this Melbourne Prestige is going to compete with those smaller, classy Winnebagos that you're seeing out there that are just really stylish, really on point. You walk in and you're like, "This is a beautiful coach."
Right, and I get stars in my eyes over those small Cs. As Jeremy knows, as you guys know, I get stars in my eyes over those small Winnebago Cs. And guess what? Jayco has stepped up, but at a more competitive price point. That's the bottom line, because those small Cs from Winnebago, I love them, but they're definitely 100, you know, starting there.
We knew somebody shopping hard for one of those, and they could not find a price that they wanted
work.
To pay, you know? So something like this could have worked for
now,
them.
Now, why am I comparing it to that? Why am I saying that it's competitive with those small Winnebago Cs? Well, first of all, the entire interior has that sleek, more European, more stylized look. It really, truly does. Down to the smallest detail, like the woven vinyl floor.
I love that.
Yes.
It's like a scratch-free floor.
Yeah, so it's practical, right? Because it has, like, I guess I think that the product director, Nick Martin, said that they use those in a lot of marine, like, boating
right.
places and
but
stuff.
But it looks good.
But it looks good. You know, it feels like it brings style to it. Like, I'm one of those people that likes a cork floor, something with texture, and it brings that texture to it without just looking like that fake wood vinyl.
This is like, I don't want to wish away the days of my life, but I do dream about the day the boys are all in college mm-hmm. and we can just go pick the coach that we want that's for us. And I would want this at that point. I would totally want this.
Right. So they got rid of the wooden cabinetry and everything. So and everything, you know, the cabinets pop out and open up. So a lot of those more sleek European design features made their way into this ultra leather.
You correct me if I'm wrong, if this is like not a good statement. It looks like an Airstream inside.
Right. No. And they brought that design focus to the interior of this coach. And I'm not sure, I could be wrong, but I don't think any of the Jayco Motorized had this design sensibility prior to this year. I can't think of.
Now look, just to talk about the Greyhawks a little bit, because right now, if I could get a motorhome, I would want a Greyhawk Prestige with that automotive bonded front window, which the Melbourne also has. They also really did update the interior look of the Greyhawks this year too, right? So that is definitely a more modern look in those Greyhawks.
So in one of the presentations, they actually showed a picture of the interior of every single motorized line. So we're focusing on the Melbourne Prestige, and then we're going to focus on one other unit, because they got around to changing more of those. But what they did with the other lines is, like the Seneca, the Greyhawk, as you're mentioning, is they at least did an interior refresh. They're like, okay, we're going to do a lot more with our motorized, but right now let's at least get these interiors refreshed. And they did that. So what they did at this presentation was they actually showed a side-by-side picture of the interiors of every single motorized line. And they showed last year's and this year's, and the difference side-by-side was really incredible. Lightening up those interiors,
yeah.
Using, you know, a more on point, trending, color scheme, and everything. So that you will see that across the board. We're focusing on sort of the larger changes.
Let's talk about a budget unit, because we both love the Red Hawk SE22C, which I think is on their website right now is the 22J. So I think it's going to change to the 22C. This is a really small Red Hawk classy motorhome. It's around 25 feet. So after our trip to the Pacific Northwest, I totally see the value of a 25-foot motorhome. You could take it out to dinner. You could drive it into your state and national parks and park at the hiking trails, at least out west for sure. So in my mind, I would have something like this with no dinghy. right? Yeah, I mean, exactly. I wouldn't. And it's cute as a button. All right. So I think it would be great for somebody with two kids. You'd have to fold the dinette down as one of the beds or put both of the kids up there on the big bed over the driving area. And then there's no separate couch. It's just the, you know, just the dinette.
But a third child could sleep on that dinette.
An adventurous family or an adventurous couple who really does not intend on spending a lot of time in the RV, who wants to bust from one exciting location to the next in a small, compact unit.
With a full bathroom, because that bathroom is good sized.
It was like the same bathroom as you'd see in like a 32-foot Class C.
It is good size, totally comfortable. No worries here. Somebody, I could do this. This is my pick. This is my
someone
pick, not the Greyhawk. Greyhawk's too big.
Oh, stop. But the bunk beds. Somebody from Jayco, I don't remember who, said that they are really trying in every area to have big bathrooms.
Mm-hmm. And I remember that, too.
I think that's true. I think that if while you're shopping, look at the sizes of the bathrooms.
Well, again, and that shows consumer feedback because people say, oh, I buy this. People forget to stand in the shower or sit on the toilet when they're shopping. And then they buy it. They bring it home. They go camping and they're like, I can't fit in the, you know, shower. So they're hearing that feedback from consumers and they're really trying to make sure nobody winds up in a bathroom that they can't fit in.
Now, this is a budget Class A, and I don't want to say what price you could get it for because I don't know. I don't know what's going to actually happen when you go out and negotiate on a dealer's lot. But here, I have a comparison. The price point on this is like the price point of like an F-250 Lariat or maybe even an F-150 Lariat.
Right.
Like this is the price of a nice new pickup truck.
Mm-hmm.
It is.
So if you, again, we always keep saying this for our buyers, our first-time buyers that are out there or people that are looking for a second rig, they don't really know what they want yet. Remember that if you do not have the tow vehicle to tow what you want and you're thinking of upgrading a tow vehicle or getting your first tow vehicle, remember that the price points of those tow vehicles...
This would be less than the trailer and the new pickup truck. It would be. Unless you're buying used on every front.
And that's something that the sticker shock can keep you from realizing. When you first go and you look at motorized units, you think that's out of my price point.
And again, you know, we see all these gigantic RVs out there. You see Jayco and other companies as well. They're pushing small too, right? They're realizing the market is out there for people who just don't want something gigantic.
Well, because I don't want to tow a dinghy. I don't. If we go motorized, I keep saying to you, no, we would do rentals. But at the same time, I'm enough in the industry where I know people buy motorized saying I'm not going to tow and then they end up towing.
Stephanie's been saying for a year, if we ever get a Class A, we'll just use Uber everywhere we go. And I totally doubted that that would work. But when we come back in the next segment, we're going to talk about using Uber all over Nashville and how well that worked and how wrong I was.
You've been. All right, I made you. I pushed you out of your comfort zone. We'll hear all about it. Stay tuned.
Welcome back to the show, everybody. It's time for segment three. So in segment one, we went over towables. Segment two, we went over motorized at the Jayco Dealers Homecoming. Segment three, we're talking Nashville. We're going to do a little travel segment here because we just had an awesome time in Nashville. And we were there 4 nights, so we did pack in a lot of stuff. And we weren't like one of those hardworking product managers that had to be there from 8 in the morning to 6 o'clock at night. We were allowed to duck out.
Well, what we did is we couldn't do a lot of it wasn't like we had a whole day to sightsee. But what we did was we tried to squeeze in a little 2 hour here, 2 hour there to hit some of the main points. Now I want to clarify. We weren't like finding hidden gems here. Our time was so limited that we were like trying to hit the big time.
No, we're not going to shock all of you by suggesting that hidden gem,
Grand Ole Opry. That is okay. Not what happened. So, but we are just going to say how much we did enjoy some of the things that
we
are
loved
very popular.
The city, but we also love Thetford, and we need to get in a sponsored message here from our friends at Thetford.
Thetford is the industry expert and event innovation leader, and they've been making RV travel a more pleasant experience for over 50 years. So one of the pieces of gear that we really missed during our trip to the Pacific Northwest was the Thetford porta potty.
But and you think, you know, she's saying that she missed a porta potty?
I did.
But she, well, so do I.
We kept saying.
And we're taking the porta potty camping this weekend.
That's right. We have our next glamping tent experience.
No RV this
coming
weekend.
Up in a couple hours, right? And guess what? This time, the porta potty is coming along.
I think
it's
we should
packed.
Just keep it in the backseat of the pickup truck while we drive.
Oh, then I'll never get a chance to miss it. So we are ready to bring that along with us. This is great for if you're dry camping, if you're camping in a pop-up without any sort of potty, or if you do any tent camping, which we know some of our RV folks still go tent camping in the outback.
We did use it in our Jayco Octane this winter when we were camping with no water, with snow on the ground, and it really worked nicely to get out there and do a little winter camping and still have a potty right there in the camper.
So to see a complete lineup of products, visit Thetford.com.
All right, let's give them some hidden gems from Nashville, some undiscovered secrets of Nashville.
Not going to happen.
Stephanie surprised me with tickets to the Grand Ole Opry for our anniversary. I mean, we went after our anniversary, but she said that was my anniversary gift. And it's been on my bucket list since I'm just a huge music fan. Country's not my number one love, but I've always wanted to do the Grand Ole Opry, partly because I love that variety show style of presentation. And we, oh my God, Stephanie, it was amazing.
Yeah.
And we talked to a lot of people. Like, we got a stellar lineup of artists.
Well, for people that don't know, you don't understand when you get the tickets, they don't tell you who's playing because they announce the lineup of artists right before those shows. Now, normally the Grand Ole Opry is only on the weekends on Friday and Saturday nights.
And they do it Tuesday
and they
now,
do.
I think.
Okay. So, but they added an extra, we would never have been able to go on those days, but they added a special show for the eclipse. So just because it was the eclipse weekend, they added a Sunday show. And for that reason, we were able to have this experience. Now, I have to say, when I bought these tickets, there was a piece of me, and I think that this is true of serious travelers. You have this sort of, oh, this is so touristy embarrassment about doing like the quote unquote touristy things. And I think we've talked about this a couple times on the show.
What Stephanie's saying is we don't have that.
Well, I feel like I, even though I go ahead and do the touristy thing, I think that sometimes I still have this like, oh, I know. It's just going to be the thing that everybody does, but I want to experience it. And so I did have that feeling going into it a little bit. Like, oh, I just want to say that I went. I want to say that I saw it, that I did it. And it ended up being, I feel like, such an authentic travel experience. It's not a touristy
These
event.
Are the stars of country music.
Mm-hmm.
Also, a shout out to our friends and podcast listeners. To Shay and her husband, Kyle, I think who got this whole thing started, didn't they?
They did.
On going to the Grand Ole Opry, so we got to give them some
known.
Credit. And their lovely daughters.
Yes. I would never have known that there was this extra show on if Shay hadn't messaged me and told me. Because I told her, oh, we're not going to be able to fit that in because we don't get in till late Saturday night, blah, blah, blah. She messaged me, told me about the show, and we all went together. I was so
And we had dinner
happy.
Beforehand. We ate an alligator together.
Alligator bites.
And also, international rock star and celebrity Cassita Dean May and his lovely wife Laura also came to dinner too. So, I mean, it was an awesome night for us to get to hang out with them. I wish we could have hung out with all of them even more because our tickets weren't in the same place for the Opry. But let's talk about who we saw at the Opry, because apparently when we talked to like all of our Uber drivers who also go to the Opry all the time, they were like, oh, they were all blown away by the lineup. So Jeannie Seely opened up, and I'm going to be honest, I'd never heard of her before, but she was a star years ago, and she was a pip, man.
Well,
she was awesome.
She kicked the show off on that foot that we realized what we were in for. And that was this really sort of this high energy but very low key in the way of it's very casual. These artists are like
– She was
it's like
saucy.
They're on their own turf and they're just having fun. It feels a little bit more casual than the typical concert that you go to, a little less produced. It feels like they're out there having fun. And we got that from start to finish, but she really set the tone for that. She was saucy. She was so fresh.
A little bit of Jersey Girl in her.
Loved it.
Then Darius Rucker comes on stage, and he was awesome.
He brought down the
and
house.
That guy's got a booming voice.
He got a standing ovation. He did a fantastic job. We loved it. They all play about four songs, and his
and
were
I want
awesome.
Some. If we have a podcast listener who has a lot of Grand Ole Opry experience, or I can just Google it. Is it a tradition for these stars to cover other people's songs at the Opry? Because all of them did a really big cover.
Yeah.
So Darius Rucker ended with Wagon Wheel and brought the house down.
Yeah, it
brought
was so
the
good.
House down. He was great. Then we saw a new band called The Sisterhood, and one of the two singers, Rod Stewart's daughter.
Right. So
she sounds like Rod Stewart.
Yeah, I guess this duet, they just
signed with Sony.
They just signed with Sony. So it seemed like too that we were getting that feeling where these lineups tend to include some new rising stars, then it also includes like the contemporary stars and like the throwbacks, right? It was a mix of that.
After the Sisterhood, these two really talented women in their 20s, right?
Yeah.
I mean like their early 20s. Riders.
They were babies.
Riders in the Sky came out, these four old Texas gentlemen in these elaborate, crazy pink, purple, and neon green cowboy outfits.
Yeah, the one guy was wearing like sheepskin chaps. I mean, it was crazy.
They were awesome.
It was totally
and
crazy.
You know, and they were so good, and they were radically different than like the sound
Texas.
Of the Sisterhood.
Yeah, that's like Texas country.
Oh, they were doing, you know.
It was cowboy. It was just cowboy country.
Tunes.
Yeah.
Then Wynonna.
Yeah. Hello.
Yeah,
hey,
I mean, she's not even the final act.
No.
And I mean,
she was barefoot, like this big old American.
She was a wild woman.
Headband kind of a thing. She was funny all over the place.
Her personality, gigantic personality.
Bigger than the opera. Well, yeah.
And her talent, gigantic talent. I mean, she, I think, was the only one who got a standing ovation. After she performed.
Darius Rucker. I think he got a standing ovation.
Not in the same way that Wynonna did. Everybody was on their feet after her last song. And she was wonderful.
Yeah. And then we had Charles Esten, who we didn't know about. I recognize
his
face.
We know him from the Nashville show.
The Nashville show.
I'm sorry. Forgive me. I didn't know he was like a legit country music star.
Right.
And if you asked me at the right moment, he might have been my favorite from the night.
He was so good.
And he killed Bruce Springsteen's Darkness on the Edge of Town as his final song. And as Jersey people, you know, I've selfied with Bruce.
We felt like he was doing it for us.
I don't want to blow past that. I've selfied with Bruce.
I think everybody's heard that story.
And then, like, you were sitting next to this really cool girl from California who was just, like, so excited to be at the Opry. And you two hit it off because you were just both,
she
like,
was, like,
so excited.
She was, like, fist bumping me.
Like, every 5 seconds. And then when Charles Esten started doing Darkness on the Edge of Town, she looked over at us and said, oh, whose song is this?
Yeah.
And Stephanie and I started going, Bruce. And she was like, what? Booze? No, Bruce. Okay. So he was great. And
yeah.
Another one of the Nashville stars came out and performed with him. And I had a younger female singer. And she was awesome, too. I don't even know what her name was. And then Little Big Town.
Yeah.
Closed it out. And they're like silky, smooth, perfect.
Well, they're huge in on the country scene,
too.
Oh,
I can see why.
Yeah, they're huge.
I mean, the talent from the four of them, I mean, they each could be a separate country music star.
Yeah.
And they probably are each separate country music stars, but to have them all packed into one band was pretty incredible. And I have to say, I have always admired and respected country music. Maybe not when I was 18 years old, but I've always respected the songwriting. And I'm a country music fan now for sure. I mean, to me, it's almost like it is rock and roll. Like if you like rock and roll, this is where it's at. I mean, this is really fun, exciting music to see in concert. So thank you, Stephanie, for getting the tickets.
We left giddy about what a great experience it was. And I can't imagine visiting again without going again. Like
if we go to Nashville, I'm getting Grand Ole Opry tickets. And
like boom, done.
And if we go to I wouldn't go to Nashville if it was on a night where I couldn't go to the Grand Ole Opry. And the Nashville KOA is nearby and the Nashville Jellystone is nearby.
Mm-hmm.
So those are both viable options for an RV trip, and then you go check out the Opry.
All right. Now, another thing that we were able to squeeze in a short amount of time was a visit to the Johnny Cash Museum. Now, this was a second choice because we actually tried to get into
the Country Music Hall of Fame. Now, that feels almost a little crazy to say like Johnny Cash is anybody's second choice.
But let's be honest.
I saw it after we realized the Country Music Hall of Fame line was too long. We looked over and saw the Johnny Cash Museum, and I was equally excited to
visit Nashville
there.
When it's in the middle of the path of totality for the solar eclipse, and there are lines
everywhere.
There are
thousands of extra people in the city.
There were lines everywhere.
So we waited in line for the Johnny Cash Museum. Great museum. You only need to spend about 2 hours in this museum, so you could do it in the morning, do it in the afternoon. And it really – I love Johnny Cash. Stephanie loves Johnny Cash. Our boys love Johnny Cash. And it did a wonderful job of telling his incredible story from the 50s right up to the end when he was still producing incredible music with Rick Rubin. I mean, I watched that video for Hurt. Which I've seen it. Oh my God, I'm bawling at the end of that.
It was very, very moving.
That was a major moment in American music, right? So it tells that whole story, and there were so many chapters in the Johnny Cash story, so many parts of his life that were worth revisiting. Then, thank you, Alexandra. We went to Goo Goo's.
Yes, yeah, so we got a few recommendations from our podcast. Our wonderful podcast listener Alexandra and her husband Jeremy have been on the show before, and so they gave us a couple. They're Nashville locals, so they gave us some good recommendations. And we went to Goo Goo's right across the street, and it was a perfect place for us to get some things to bring home for the boys because they have candy.
We got them chocolate clusters.
Yes,
and we were like, "Oh, what are we going to bring home to the boys? I want to get some stupid." You know, at the airport. And this was the part they were so excited to each get their variety pack.
Yes,
of Goo Goo's
they each
clusters
got a box. Yeah.
With six clusters in them. So, and we got ice cream there.
We
it
got
was so hot
ice
out.
Cream.
Like, I didn't think you, Stephanie doesn't always get ice cream. That's something you should know about her. Like, we'll all go get ice cream. She's like, no.
No, I'm fine.
Because she's just smarter and better than we are. I said, Steph, you want ice cream? She's like, yes. You know, because it was like a hot day.
It was really hot. I know. It's so silly to talk about the heat in the South in the summer in August, but I could not get over how hot it was.
I think even to the Nashville local, it was like a little bit of a heat wave.
So
we also did Martin's Barbecue. My God, were the dry rub ribs incredible. All the meats were incredible. The sides were not the best sides I've ever had personally, but the meats were among the best barbecue I've ever had. And I've been to Arthur Bryant's in Kansas City. I've been to Joe's in Kansas City. So this is a really world-class barbecue
joint.
Yeah,
we did a platter, and we were complimented on how much we actually ate off the platter by our server. He thought we did a really
good thing. And you said, oh, because you were like, oh, we'll never eat all that on that platter. You know,
and we did a really good job. It was so good.
A really nice environment in there, just a cool place, and it was right there downtown. So
yeah,
definitely,
we could walk to it. We walked to
and
it.
We wanted to go to Hattie B's first, but we were like a little intimidated by the line, and everything was so crazy. So we did Martin's first. But then, thank God, we did get to Hattie B's, and I got to credit Stephanie because we had given our big presentation, and we were both tired, and we both wanted to chill out. And she's like, we're going to Hattie B's before we leave. We did. The line was really long. And it was worth every second.
Yeah, that's you got to wait in line sometimes for the good things in life, you know? And I'm telling you, we had a group in front of us complaining about the line and a group behind us complaining about the line.
You were so cranky because we were literally in line for 30 to 40 minutes hearing people complain about the line. And it's just like, just leave.
Yeah.
Just don't stay in the line.
You want nobody else to come to the famous place that you're coming to?
The guy behind us is like, well, they intentionally make the line long. So it's like they're cool and popular. And I'm like, no, I really, you know, just line's long.
Everybody like you, me, and the next person's visiting.
And we had one woman in front of us who was holding the place in line for her group, she told us.
10 people.
At least.
10 people.
At least.
So, yeah, people don't do that. You hold the place for your spouse.
If it's your spouse, fine. But then when, like, waiting in line for 20 minutes, all of a sudden 10 people are in front of us, you know.
Yeah, we were first.
But let's talk about the food. So they have different levels of heat. So they have southern, which I think is no heat, mild, medium, hot, damn hot, and shut the cluck up. We went hot, and that was because of me. If Stephanie was there alone, I think you would have gone damn hot.
I would have. Yep. That's what would have been my pick, but we were like trying to share and taste different things. So
like hot would have been the top temperature level at many other places. I loved every bite of it. I would totally get hot again. I have to say, if I went back, I'd get shut the cluck up just to experience it.
Just to see what it tastes like, and I would let you take a picture of me. Because that's what everybody said. Like, yeah. You will cry. Like, even if you like heat, like, you will cry.
Well, I was eating the hot chicken, and I'm, like, sweating. Like, I'm like, oh, it's like, wow, this is really an experience. And Stephanie's like, why don't you take a drink? You know, like, why?
Well, I said, you had some ranch there.
Like,
and I'm like, dip it in the ranch.
Like,
but you're suffering.
The thing is, well, I was suffering a little, but I was enjoying the suffering. We all know how that can be true in
life,
right?
That's what heat's about. Yeah, that's if you like a hot, that you know what it feels like to enjoy
the suffering. You've been enjoying the suffering of being married to me for 17
it's
years.
It's been a while.
It was that kind of experience. We also got great coffee at the Frothy Monkey. Nashville has lots of craft roasters. They have like lots of pretentious coffee shops, which is great. You know, mm-hmm. I love
And this was another recommendation from Alexandra. So I said to her, where do we go? We have work to do. I said, we need to go somewhere. We need to have a nice cup of coffee and get a lot of work done.
The only sad thing is we didn't see Alexandra.
They were out of town. It was so sad.
But we had a really nice Ecuadorian single origin coffee, a pour over, pretentious in just the way that I like it, a really delicious cup of coffee. And we waited in line to get it.
Yeah. You just got to wait in line. Sorry, folks. I think that's the story of Nashville, then even more so because we were there
now,
during
a
popular
Let's talk
time.
Uber, and then let's get out of here on this show. Stephanie said we're not renting a car on this trip to May. And we always, when we go to do a presentation or go work at an RV show, we always rent a car. And I kind of like renting a car.
And I'll tell you why. Because oftentimes RV shows are outside of city limits. So a convention center or something like that will be a drive outside. So I'm always like, okay, fine, we'll get the car. But anybody that travels a lot knows picking up the car at the airport, returning the car at the airport, like finding your way around a new city that you've just flown into, all of that can be a little added stress. And I wasn't having
it. Well, so Stephanie's like, we're using Uber. And my high school students all use Uber. But my first thought is like, well, what if no one comes to get us? Like, what if you're at the Nashville airport and nobody shows up? Like, I feel like an old-fashioned fool right now. So
I let him get away with this stuff for ages.
We get off the plane in Nashville and we go to the share area, the parking lot. And the Ubers are like 20 of them are pulling up at a time. There's not a taxi cab in sight.
Yeah.
You know, but the Ubers are coming like this. And Stephanie punches in all the information. She's like, okay, 1 minute.
Yeah.
And I'm like, it blew me away. I'm like, I finally grasped this whole rideshare economy. And why I bring all this up is because you've been saying for a year, if we ever buy a Class C, we'll just Uber.
That's
no matter where we
do.
Are. And now I'm like, okay, I believe it.
Yeah.
And then we Ubered all over Nashville. And I don't know that it all added up to being less than a car rental with all the tips and everything, but it was way more convenient.
Okay. But yeah, because we went out the last night and I want to make this last recommendation. Now, we had podcast listeners and friends ask us, they were going to Nashville with their kids and they were like, well, where do we go to listen to music that's family friendly? Because it's hard. Because honestly, Broadway is like not a kid friendly. Like at night,
not at night. There is
a lot of music,
drunk people passed out
but
on the street.
It's kind of crazy down there. So, but this is a good recommendation. Actually, we went to an event at the Wild Horse Saloon in downtown, right off of Broadway, for an event the last night where they had live music, and we actually saw a country band there. I was there and I was thinking, this is a good family-friendly place because the downstairs had tables there. You could eat. And then there was a dance floor. So if you were there with kids and you wanted to get a good live music show and have dinner and everything, I think that would be a good place to go.
Nashville's overflowing with music. With the hotel we stayed in, there was a musician in the lobby every day and they were awesome.
But I want to say about the Uber, because I was bringing that up because I want to say, yeah, sure, we might have spent the same amount, but we would have had driven the car, and we would have had to, from the hotel to the Wild Horse Saloon, parked,
also,
then driven home.
We
That's
had
terrible.
To leave at 4 a.m. for our flight out. And then once again, I was worried there wouldn't be an Uber. So I went down to the front desk and I was like, well, do you think we can get an Uber at 4 a.m.? And the woman behind the counter looked at me like, silly boy. Like,
how many minutes did it take for our Uber to show up at 4 in the morning?
3 minutes.
Yeah.
3 minutes.
And he was there, nice conversation. Telling us, you know, we were talking baseball.
Our Uber driver on the way to the airport was Mookie Betts' godfather. Boston Red Sox, Mookie Betts' godfather. Okay. So it's also kind of cool meeting all these people. Also, look, I had this like old-fashioned worry, not for me. I'm not worried about getting into the car with a strange person, but like, my students all use Uber, and it's just, I don't know, the whole thing has concerned me a little bit.
Wow,
so.
We didn't have any of your students on the trip, and it was the perfect thing for us
perfectly.
To do. It was
so
great.
I'm sold on the idea of a Class A and then, like, getting out to Yellowstone, and even if you're, like, in the middle of the wilderness in Yellowstone, just summoning an Uber, and an Uber will come up even if you're on, like,
an old
dirt
road. The things I have to fight for in this relationship. We're going to be back in a minute to wrap up the show.
thank you so much for listening to episode 156 of RV Family Travel Atlas. Greetings from the Jayco Homecoming in Nashville, Tennessee. We had a great time. My goodness, we had a great time. Big thank you to our sponsors, to Thetford, to Cabela's, to KOA, and to Jayco.
Yeah, and we are going to be at the Jayco display at Hershey. That's September 13th through 17th. Save the date. We are going to give you all the information you need about the times we're going to be there for meet and greets and everything. We'd love to meet you, but definitely.
And Friday and Saturday for sure. Like, if you want to come say hello, Friday and Saturday for sure. We'll see about Thursday, Sunday. We'll pump out that information as soon as we can. Also, we are going to be at the grand opening of the Cabela's in Albuquerque. Which weekend is that?
September 24th. Very excited. Come on out and see us
Saturday
there.
And Sunday. Mm-hmm. So we'll be there Saturday and Sunday. And we already have some podcast listeners in the Albuquerque area who said they're going to come to meet us. We really appreciate that.
And then lastly, we've got the Florida RV Super Show in Tampa, January 17th through the 21st. We are very excited to be there again. And we'd love to see you there in Tampa, sunny Tampa in January.
Or we'd just love to see you at the campground.
See you at the campground.